time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
So this week, myself and Brooke talked about two topics, and we started off by talking about the recent announcement that the government put out around EV cars and the discounts that they'll be getting, but also the fees that will be put on other cars which are not EVs. So ACT has opposed this move, talking primarily on the fact that for many people who have either large families or work in industries such as farming where cars such as utes are needed, but there isn't any necessarily electric vehicle alternatives for them, or if there are, they're very expensive. So we start off by talking about that, and then later on in the interview we talk about the around significant natural areas and the changes that are being made and the pause that has happened around local councils being able to take land for conservation purposes from private land. So here's our chat.
Okay.
So this week we've seen in the government announce a new policy to try and move more people towards buying and using EV vehicles. And ACT has opposed this move. But has ACT considered that if we make electric cars more desirable combined with the demand for vehicles such as utes, technology and innovation will lead to a solution?
I think you've got to ask the question, why is it that if we already have electric vehicles, that not more people have decided to take them up? And for some people, it's simply because it's not a justifiable move to do with, you know, the types of families they have or the types of work that they do. You know, you take, for example, a family that has more than two children. A lot of these electric vehicles are not large enough for large families needing to move around. And they're not suitable for people who work on farms or tradespeople who need a lot of space in the back of their cars. So this policy, we believe, actually harms people who are trying to do their job where they don't have the ability to get an electric vehicle because it places a new tax on them. But it also won't actually go any way further to reducing our emissions. And that's because we already have what's called the emissions trading scheme. So if you are, you know, going to fuel up your car, you don't usually see this, but there's a tax in the fuel that's put into your car called the emissions trading scheme tax. And that is a tax on the carbon that you're using. So if we actually have more people going and shifting towards electric vehicles, all that does under our existing policy framework is let up more carbon credits for other industries to use. Now, that's a across-the-board policy for all carbon in New Zealand. So just taking people from petrol cars and putting them into electric cars doesn't actually go any way further to reducing our overall emissions. All this policy does is tax people who don't have the ability to buy an electric vehicle and subsidise those people who can.
So ACT has said that the government should lead when it comes to electric vehicles by making their whole fleet electric. So does ACT want the government to lead by example or not? Because on one hand you've said yes, we want them to make their whole fleet sustainable, but on the other hand you've said that the government shouldn't be the one leading when it comes to fighting climate change.
I think if the government is going to be making a policy where it's trying to shift New Zealanders away from petrol vehicles into electric vehicles, they have to meet the same standards that they're expecting of everybody else. And this is the same that I've seen across the board in a range of industries where the government tries to create a rule for other people and then doesn't follow through for their own self. So if you take, for example, housing, the government has what's called its Healthy Homes Standards and it expects all private landlords to meet those standards by the 1st of July this year. That's things like putting heat pumps in, making sure there's a range of insulation and water ingress. There's a whole range of standards. I found out that the government, its own 68,000 Kāinga Ora homes, only 11,000 of those homes meet the same standards. All we're asking is if the government is going to create rules, that they follow those rules themselves and they lead by example, because it is not fair and it's quite divisive to create policies that pit people against each other when they don't want to follow the rules for themselves.
Then why doesn't ACT have the same philosophy when it comes to the government leading when it comes to climate change?
Well, we're saying in this regard, if the government wants people to take up what's called electric vehicles...
Yeah, but on an international scale, you've said that New Zealand shouldn't be the country that should be leading when it comes to fighting against climate change, yet here you're saying that they should be the ones leading when it comes to things like EVs.
What we're pointing out here is the hypocrisy of the government. Not that it needs to lead the world in climate change measures, but if it's setting standards for New Zealanders, then it should at least be trying to set the same standards for itself.
Okay, well, we'll move on to our next topic now, which is around significant natural areas. Now, there's been a lot around this and around ACT has described it as land grabbing. Has ACT considered that not every landowner is a good landowner and has the ability and the knowledge to look after complex and significant land, which is important to our ecosystem?
My take on the significant natural areas is that the government is asking the council to set aside land for conservation that is privately owned by farmers already. Now, here is the part that a lot of people haven't picked up here. If you are a farmer who has done great conservation, and for some families this has happened over 150 years on your private land, then you are being targeted by this government and potentially having your land confiscated because you have conserved the land well. Land that hasn't been conserved well is not going to be set aside as a significant natural area. So you have this perverse incentive where if you are a farmer, you're being told that you shouldn't be looking after your land because then the government's not going to be coming after you. People who actively look after their land and conserve it for themselves and their families and the country and for future generations should not be targeted by this government and told that they're going to be restricted by what they can do with their land because they have looked after it in the past.
Well, has ACT considered that potentially the best suited person for or best suited group when it comes to conservation is the government's Department of Conservation, who is in charge of making sure that we do conserve our land?
I think we do want to see people conserving their land and looking after it and being good environmentalists, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that will happen under a significant natural area zone. What we're seeing here and what I'll be seeing down at field days this week, there are hundreds and thousands of farmers who are feeling aggrieved by constantly being attacked by this government and being told that what they're doing is bad for the environment. When you have people who actively look after their wetlands, look after their forests, look after the rivers and streams in their areas, being told that the government and the councils will now tell them that they have restrictions with what they can now do on that land, even if they never intended to develop their land, is a feeling of insult and a feeling of being attacked for being a good conservationist. What? And I think we actually need to stand up for those people who do look after their land and not tell them that the council is now going to be having a greater responsibility over it.
What about those farmers who don't look after the land, the ones who it means that we've got streams that are completely unswimmable and nitrate levels in our soil which are just not acceptable?
Well, I think you could also say the same thing about how the councils look after our sewage ways. Do you really believe that the council, having a right over somebody's private property that has been conserved in the past, is actually going to lead to a better solution? You look at how we have water in our urban areas that have been polluted by sewage because the council haven't been looking after our wastewater treatment and our sewage plants well. Those things don't necessarily equate. What we do want to see is people looking after their land, and we do need to support them doing so, but the council coming over the top and the government coming over the top with significant natural areas is not the way to do it. And James Shaw has even admitted that this SNA process has been a bad process, and they're backing down. So, you know, even in the last few days, James Shaw has actually directed some of the councils to pause this SNA process and said that potentially they should exempt iwi from the process too. And even Grant Robertson has come out and said that they should take a break on this. And so if we have people in the government who have actively been wanting to conserve our land saying, hold up, this hasn't been a good process, I think we do have reason to be concerned about it.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.